Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In tracing the life of Abraham, we also trace the lives of his relatives. Lot chose the best land, while Abraham chose to let God care for his needs. Today, lessons from a story of two opposing ways to live, looking out for number one or letting God be God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on strength for the journey, Pastor Lutzer is in Genesis chapter 13. In this third message, A Costly Faith, Abraham receives an expanded promise from God after Lot goes off the scene.
It is sometimes those respectable sins that cause tremendous problems in families. Families have been split over inheritances. They've been split because of money. You wave big money in somebody's face, and even a rational Christian can become unrealistic and can become greedy and manipulative. Money has that power. It has the power to seduce because it makes all of the same promises that God does. I'll be with you in sickness and in health. I'll be with you if the economy collapses. I'll be with you. And so what you have here is Lot choosing in the direction of wealth and power. And look at where he ended. That's the consequences of Lot's choice. What about the consequences of Abraham's choice? Notice that the text says in verse 14, "The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him." You remember chapter 12, verse 1? God says, "Abraham, leave your family and your kindred." He didn't leave his dad behind. He brought his dad as far as Haran, and then his dad dies, and then he comes into the land with Lot. And now Lot, strictly speaking, should not have been a part of his entourage. But now that Lot has gone his own way, God and Abraham are alone. And notice what the text has to say about what God gave him. God says to him, verse 14, "Lift up your eyes." You say, "Well, Pastor Lutzer, that's exactly what Lot did." You'll notice it says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. Both of them lifted up their eyes. What's the difference? Big difference. The difference is this. One of the men lifted up his eyes and saw what he wanted and took it. The other lifted up his eyes and he saw what God gave him. What a difference there is between what you take and what God gives you. So Abraham lifts up his eyes. God says, "Abraham, you remember that promise I gave you when you first came into the land? I'm going to expand upon that promise." The Lord says to him, "Lift up your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see, I will give it to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can be counted. Arise, walk in the land." And what does Abraham end up doing? He builds an altar unto the Lord. What a different ending to a story. Notice that God now expands the promise geographically. He says, as far as you can see and as far as you can walk, the land is going to be yours. God expands the promise numerically. He says, you can't count the dust of the earth. In the very same way, no one is going to be able to count your seed. He even expands the promise durationally. Not sure if there's a word like that, but there is now. God says, I'm going to give it to you forever. Olam in Hebrew. We're going to have to discuss that at some point. God says, I'm giving it to you as a possession. I'm going to even expand the promise experientially. Go ahead and walk along the length and the breadth of the land. Enjoy it. It's going to be yours. And Abraham is going to die. without a single square foot belonging to him except that which he purchases to bury himself and his wife and his family. But he dies in faith. He lives with delayed promises. Let's talk about our decision. First of all, let me remind you of this, that the choice that you and I make today determines the kind of person we will be in the future. The choice that you make today determines the kind of person that you will be in the future. How important those choices are. Many of us know Larry Poland, who works in Hollywood trying to get executives, befriending them, and Hollywood producers, befriending them and sharing the gospel with them. And he told us the story of a man who was converted out of a difficult lifestyle, very well known in Hollywood. And he was having lunch with Larry one day, and he said, "You know, Larry," he says, "I can't understand it." He said, "I accepted Christ as my Savior, maybe it was 6 months ago. And," he says, "I tell people for what Jesus has done for me. I tell them what he's done for me, and they all say, 'You know, you're crazy. You're crazy.'" Now, he said, "For years I lived, went through 3 marriages. My kids were on drugs. I was an alcoholic. And nobody looked at me and said, 'Hey, you know, you're crazy.' He said, now," he said, "I'm finally loving my wife for the first time. I'm off of alcohol and I'm connecting with my kids. And I know that my sins are forgiven before God. And now I'm being told I'm crazy." You see, the kind of decisions that you make determine the character that you're going to be. If you want to be a character with deceit in your life and wrong values in your life, and you make those decisions, you will end up either like Abraham following God, or you and I could end up like Lot, doing our own thing, choosing for ourselves and living with tragic, tragic consequences, not just for us, but for others too. As a matter of fact, the decision that you make today determines where you will spend eternity. Because Jesus made it very clear that if you trust me as Savior, your eternity is assured. Whereas if you neglect that, if you reject what Jesus wants to do for you or can do for you, if you reject that, then in eternity, you're on your own. And eternity is a very, very long time. Watch your choices. Because the choice that you make today determines the kind of person that you will be tomorrow. Second lesson. When we believe God, we please God. When we believe God, we please God. Abraham in the scripture is spoken of 2 times as the friend of God. Wouldn't that be awesome to have on your tombstone? A friend of God. Wow. Most of us would never think of asking that that be on our tombstone, because we know right well that that's more than we really are. In fact, you ought to be thinking about what you want on your tombstone. If you're over 50, you should be thinking about it. You say, "Well, Pastor, do you know what you want on your tombstone?" No, I'm not 50 yet, you see. I looked into the mirror the other day and I said to Rebecca, "Honey, I don't look 63, do I?" She said, "No." "No, you sure don't, but you used to." But I've often thought about my tombstone. Imagine being called a friend of God. And this is what the Bible says: "He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him out." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The reason that Abraham could say to Lot, "You choose and I'll take the leftovers," is because Abraham could turn his back on wealth, he could turn his back on prestige, and he could turn his back on opportunity. Because he trusted God and did not dare choose for himself. He allowed God to make the choice. And so he could do it in faith. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how much faith do we really need? Well, faith even as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus said. And even the faith that we have is really a gift of God. That's why Abraham receives no praise in all of this. God even granted him the faith. But if you find within your heart today a drawing towards Christ, pursue it. God may be pursuing you so that you come to him in faith. And you can come, as the words of the hymn say, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Come with your doubts. Come with your unanswered questions. And then, having come, we can all sing with authority, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Because we're going to follow him every step of the way. Think of what Abraham got when he followed God. When he went to Haran, God waited for him. When he got messed up in Egypt, God restored him. When he walked in obedience, God blessed him. Because he believed that there were some things more important than sight, and that was the eye of faith. We come in humility, but we come in faith. And we invite God to be a part of all of our decisions, and the most important one that you could possibly make is to transfer your trust to Jesus. Some people will say, well, you know, you're crazy. It's the most important decision that you could ever make. And then we say, with all of our hearts, we follow Jesus. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you have just heard the heart of the Running to Win ministry. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also try to help people in their Christian walk to have understanding and faith. I've written a book entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. Let me ask you a question. Is the crescent able to destroy the cross? When I was in Istanbul, our guide showed us that every cross in the Church of Holy Wisdom, which was originally a Christian church, every cross had been chiseled out because he said that no Muslim can ever pray in the presence of a cross. How do we resolve all this? How do we show the triumph of Jesus in the midst of even what is happening in the Middle East? These are the kinds of questions I answer in the book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, concluding A Costly Faith, the third of 10 messages on the life of Abraham in a series called Strength for the Journey. Next time, let's see what happens when Abraham exhibits a generous faith. The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent is a book by Pastor Lutzer analyzing the rise of Islam. This book will be sent with our thanks when you send a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Join us for our next Running to Win.